Go to Psalm 1 with me, and then Psalm 92, and then Jeremiah 10:5. So that's Psalm 1. We're going to be speaking tonight about He shall be like a tree. We all need to become stronger Christians, every one of us. None of us are exempted. We all need to be a little bit more like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I want to emphasize especially 92, Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14. And so, I go to the Psalms, and Psalm 1, I will read that part of it. In fact, let's stand another time as we give the word here, and then we'll tell you something about the palm tree. And this is just a part of what is glorious and wonderful about the palm tree. It says here, follow with me, Psalm 1, first of all. Then we'll go to 92, Psalm 92 and Jeremiah 10, verse 5. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And this is the part. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now to Psalm 90. Well, let's go to Jeremiah 10:5, and then we'll finish up with the last one there. I don't have that marked in my Bible, but we'll find it. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, after the Psalms. We get into the prophets. Jeremiah 10, I believe it is, verse 5. Tells about a palm tree. Not just any tree, but a palm tree. 10 and verse number 5. All I really want to get is the first little phrase there. They are upright as the palm tree. They are upright as the palm tree. Now to Psalm 1, Psalm 92 with me, please. Psalm 92. By the way, it's pleasant to have visitors come back on Sunday night. Sometimes I preach so strongly that I wonder if anybody's going to come back on Sunday night. And they keep coming back. I scare myself. I tell it all around here. Amen? Amen. That goes with your sermon, though, Brother Walton. Stand tall, tell it all, and let the chips fall. That was on New Year's Eve. He preached that many years. We get that one ready. That's when you were a novice, though, brother. But it ought to be good even. Get it ready, and if the Lord leads you, we'll let you preach it again here. Amen. Appreciate our brother Walton being back with us as well as our visitors. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Our Father, we thank Thee for these wonderful verses in the Bible. We thank Thee, Lord, that there's so much said about palm branches and the palm tree. And we pray that somehow we can glean some beautiful and wonderful illustrations from the palm tree. And we pray that it might be a blessing to all of our hearts and an encouragement for us to be, as it says in Psalm 1, like a tree. And then, Lord, even those are planted by the water, but the date tree, the date palms so often are in the middle of seemingly just out so far. Even in the desert, surely by some water. But then, our Father, we thank Thee for it. We don't know everything by far about the palm tree, but we pray, our Father, that we would learn some things tonight that will be applicable to our life, that we might be more like the upright palm trees. And we'll thank Thee for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to be speaking mainly about the palm tree, the date palm, tonight. And there's a lot said, I believe, in the Bible, at least a fair amount said about them, not surely not as much as there is said about grapes, and probably even the fig tree is mentioned so many times, but the date palms is what we would like to consider this tree. Many of them grow to be over 200 years old. Some of them are 40 feet high, 50 feet high, 80 feet high, and they even go to be 100 feet high. They're upright. That's the way we ought to be. How many times in the Psalms we're encouraged and really commanded to be upright in our dealings? May we always do that, to be honest and upright. And the thing is that the tree is just the trunk. It grows from the inside, and so does a new baby Christian. We grow, or an older Christian, we always grow from the inside. And this is an upright thing. There's no branches, but right on the top. And high on the top is where the foliage is where the great palm branches that plume out like a great ostrich feathers, 20 feet long, these branches. Beautiful palm branches. And they're evergreen. They're always green. We need to be always fruitful, always shining for the Lord. And these are beautiful trees. Beautiful. In their, as you see about there in Florida and different places, and you see these beautiful palm trees. And yet these are the date palms, which are not very prevalent in Palestine like they used to be. But they're still very prevalent among the Arabs and Egyptians. Sometimes they bear 200 pounds of fruit hanging all below the beautiful branches. And the Bible says over there in the Scriptures in Psalm 1, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither." See, it's green, evergreen. We ought to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And so we ought to be fruitful. They say that the date palm will produce for a whole 100 years. Glory. And they only live 200. Be fruitful. They say that the end of the life, some of the dates, the best fruit is in old age. Some of the best even in old age. Well, we ought to be like that. Amen. Isn't that what it says in Psalm 92 here? Look at what it says there. It says here, "And those that be planted in the house of the Lord," this is Psalm 92, verse 13, "shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall what? Still bring forth fruit in old age." We're not to sit down and do nothing. A car will go nowhere if it's idling all the time in neutral. We need to be set our goals toward serving Christ and going to heaven, serving Him, declaring Him, living with all our might for Him. Though our strength dwindles as we get older, our inward man can be renewed day by day. Some of the greatest sermons I've ever heard are from old men. I think of J.C. Ketchum. Dr. Ketchum, what a man he was. He came out of the Northern Baptist Convention and started the General Association of Regular Baptists. And I'll never forget that sermon he preached. He was blind. He was plumb blind. They had to guide him up to the platform at Bob Jones University. And he had to hang on to the pulpit because he didn't know where he was. Oh, but in the Scriptures he knew where he was. And he preached on being living epistles, known and read of all men. And he said, you can't have an epistle and become a living epistle known and read of all men until you get some writing paper You have to have the writing paper for the epistle, which is a letter, by the way. And he said, so you have to go out and cut down a tree. And he went through all the process of cutting the tree down and how we need to be cut down, born again. Amen? And then you have to go through the acid treatment. He went through all this acid, and then it had to be cut in pieces and all this. And then he said, after all this, then take the wood pulp out of the wood. And all of a sudden, after this and this and this and this, all the things that we go through as believers, and all of a sudden, after all that trial and test, we come forth with pure white writing paper, ready for God to make us living epistles, known and read of all men. Oh, it was glorious. I don't remember very many other sermons so well as that one from Dr. Ketchum. He died shortly after that. It was glorious. By the way, the palm trees, it mentions over and over again. I've mentioned it, but over and over again, they're beautiful trees. And we ought to be beautiful for the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Amen. And old Bill, I've said this to many of our people, so you can hear it again. But Bill Rice, the head of the Bill Rice Ranch years ago, I think the second, and he had his feet up there in the bed. Another evangelist was in the room with him. He said, aren't those beautiful feet? He said, they're the most ugly feet I've ever seen. What are you talking about? He said, those feet take the gospel to sinners. Amen. They're beautiful feet. I tell you, feet are stinky and ugly, if you ask me. But they can become beautiful for the glory of God. And we need to be beautiful for the Lord. Beautiful. Not in self-glory like Absalom. Amen? But beautiful for God. As we said, Moses was a comely one. But we need to be spiritually beautiful. I mentioned that with the little fellows this morning. They were more wide awake at that time. Cheer up, fellas. When I was your age, I fell asleep too. And that's why we have nice carpet down there if you get too tired, buddy. Yeah, we know that little boys get kind of drowsy. And we're understanding we better be that way too. Amen? Now, parents, you do whatever you want, but I'm just speaking for me. We understand. We ought to be thankful, though. And it's what's inside that counts. You know, don't you young fellas, don't just be looking for some raving beauty. She may be beautiful on the outside and quite ugly on the inside. She might be, as some people say, kind of homely on the outside and be so gloriously beautiful on the inside. Now, if you get one beautiful on the outside and the inside, you're extra blessed. But it doesn't always come your way. Amen? She ought to be beautiful to you, though. Amen. Oh, today we have our values all messed up. You know why we have our values messed up? Because we don't pray. We ought to pray in everything by prayer. That's why I said that about our Bible Institute. We can teach all the Bible we want. If we don't teach what the Bible says about prayer, what have we done for our young men? Did you know that the early disciples in the school of Christ, of course, he was the God of glory. His sermons were perfect sermons. And yet the early church, after the Lord left them, he said, I will send you another comforter, and he shall be with you forever. But the early church, they didn't have Bibles to carry around. They didn't even have any of the New Testament. They didn't have any of this. They had the Psalms and Proverbs. But even the Psalms and Proverbs were too big of books to hang around with the scrolls. So they had to have it written in their hearts, in their minds. But you know what they could do? The early church was a powerful church anyhow, because they were a praying church. Our independent Baptist churches today are powerless, most of them. Or we have less power than we absolutely should have, for sure, because we don't pray. It's not sweet hour of prayer, it's sweet 3 minutes of prayer with most of us. You're not going to get the power of God, young men. You're not going to retain the power of God, young men, unless you learn to spend hours in prayer a week. I encourage you, I challenge you, as I've been challenged through all the years to spend an hour with God in prayer alone a day. Be men of prayer. You older women, some of you women, average age, middle age, you can't do a lot of other things, but you can pray. And our church needs prayer more than anything else. You say we need workers to paint the roof up here. Well, it does need to be done. I think we ought to paint it ourselves and save the money. Nobody can see it up there anyhow. If it was down lower and everybody could see it. So worried about getting it done so perfectly. Let's just get some good paint and clean it real good and then paint it. But I'll tell you, there's something more than painting the roof that's important. It's the power of prayer. We don't need paint as much as we need prayer. The early church was a powerful church. Powerful. It says what happened when they prayed and sang hymns there. What did they say? Psalms or hymns, whatever, in the jail with Silas and Paul. And God shook the jail! I've read recently in my personal devotions going through the Bible. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this morning, you ought to go through the Bible. Read through the Bible. And then when you finish in Revelation, you start at Genesis again and go right through the Bible. If you want to do it in different segments, that's fine. We ought to be a Bible-reading people. But we need prayer. Prayer. Power. The power of God upon us. The early church. Didn't I mention that this morning? But you shall receive power. What? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. You know what they did while they tarried? They prayed. Sad to say, our young men and our young women, they spend time doing all the work. And by the way, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, drinking in His words. She was worshiping. And Martha was working and busy about many, and careful, full of care about many things. You don't see Mary like that. She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she was commended, and Martha was rebuked by the Master. Does this mean that Mary never helped her sister? No, but the Master is here today. The Master's not here every day. He's out preaching. When Jesus comes on the scene, let's just stop everything and sit at His feet and drink in His words. It's time for worship when the Master comes. Spend time in prayer with God. You want to be like Jesus? Spend more time with Jesus. No prayer, no power. Some prayer, some power. Much prayer, much power. What? Because God will answer your prayers? Yes, but the truth of the matter is you need to pray just to get yourself in order. Amen? Some of us need to spend a lot of time just praying for ourselves. Amen? We've got so many rough edges. We need to be like that tree! That high palm! Amen? I mean nothing but trunk all the way to the top! By the way, the palm tree, the fruit, is way up in the 100, 200, 100 feet tall. 80 to 100 feet tall on the high ones. You know, 100 feet's a long way up there. Amen? We ought to live above this world and fly high like the eagle. The eagles are born high, they live high, and they fly high. We ought to be taking that glorious gospel to sinners. But we'll not be the constant, consistent soul winner and victorious Christian we ought to be unless we learn to pray. I told you this morning that I lost my real prayer time right in Bible college. What do we send our teenagers, girls and guys off for? To get a husband? Come on. God can send a husband by and save all that money. Huh? Hello? Now the boys have to go out and work all the days of their life and the sweat of their face, the Bible says. That's the curse on them, not on the women. Oh, that goes over big too. Amen? But I'm telling you, Yeah, Brother Matt, when you get married, don't get a professional woman. She'll be making more money than you. And she'll let you know about it too. Keep her at home. Changing diapers and taking care of your precious little babies that God gives you if He gives you children. Amen? Get a woman who's a homebody. We don't need celebrities. We got enough of them in Hollywood. You don't need a woman that thinks she's that pretty. Some of them are the ugliest things you've ever seen, too. Have you ever noticed that? Some of these Hollywood characters, they think this guy is handsome. He's just ugly. You've just gotten used to seeing his ugly face so many times that some people think he's handsome. Ugly guy. And girls, oh, man, some are the most homely. Ugly, not homely. That used to be a homely girl was a girl that stayed at home a lot. But, I mean, some of them are plum ugly. They just put enough makeup on them to make them look halfway presentable, I guess. Oh, just people are nuts. Anybody can be, you know, just think they're wonderful and beautiful and say it enough, and everybody thinks they are, I guess, except they have some Bible sense and common sense. Anyhow, but we ought to be beautiful for the Lord, and we ought to be beautiful in prayer. Oh, that was what the devil snatched out of my mind for a moment there. There's so much in our devotions about that our tears are bottled up, the Bible says. And often when we pray, we weep as well. And then the prayers of the saints are the odors in the book of the Revelation. Our prayers are important to God. I read that and I said, isn't that beautiful? These are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are important. You say, I'm a feeble person when it comes to prayer. Well, God says He likes the prayers of His saints. So pray, pray, pray. Do anything that pleases Him. It'll clean us up. It'll help us to live with ourselves. Some of you have trouble with that. I never had any trouble living with myself. I do realize I have many failures, but I kind of like myself a little bit. You know, but I'm not talking about the proud element. You know, even everybody, what? Loves themselves. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, we ought to be beautiful for the Lord. We ought to spend time in prayer. It said they took branches of palm trees in John 12:13 and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They took these palm trees, palm branches, and they put them in front of the Lord Jesus. And they went around with, Hosanna! Hosanna! Oh, we got to go over to the Revelation right now because it's on my mind. Amen? All right, look what it says in the Revelation. Which verse is that? 7:9. Revelation. The Revelation. Not revelations. It's one revelation of Him. The Christ. And that starts in Revelation 1. You see the picture of the exalted, glorified Christ. What does it say here in 7:9 of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9? After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels that stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. We have palms in our hands. As all these nations of the saved, the redeemed, are gathered together. There are possibly as many as 10,000 flowers on the palm tree. There are upwards of 360 uses for the palm tree. It's so many uses for the palm tree, along with food, the dates, that it almost supplies every need that the Arab or the Egyptian has. The palm tree is very useful and beneficial, and so should we as Christians be very useful and beneficial for counsel and for help and for encouragement in every way, as our brother Walton prayed in his prayer, that our money and our that it would be for others, that we would bless others with what we have. There's vinegar that comes from the palm tree. It starts bearing fruit after 6 or 8 years. So, you know, if you don't win 100 souls to the Lord before you're 16 years old, don't be too fretful. Hallelujah. Amen. The palm tree took 6 or 8 years before it bore any fruit. But it bore some fruit. And it tells us over in John, I believe it is, what? Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. It brings glory to God that we are fruitful. We ought to be very fruitful. Shame on us if we could be more fruitful than we are. Isn't that sad? Some of us are going to have so little sheaves to bring with us. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Are we going to? What does it say? There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. That's in the, what is it? The lost coin, the lost son, prodigal son, the lost sheep. What? When they were found, there was rejoicing. Come rejoice with me, for I found the coin that was lost. So there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. They must repent. Without, except they repent, they shall all likewise perish. Amen? Some of these people are redefining repentance. I'm not interested. Repentance means a change of mind that will change you about and transform you completely. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If your mind is changed, your walk will change. Or that's just some kind of a mental assent. Amen? If you really change your mind about God and His words and obeying His word, I'll tell you, there will be a change in our walk. I never drank or smoked or ran around when I was 16 years old, but when I got saved, I changed so much that that my mother said, "Is this my boy Jack?" No, it was Jesus living in Jack. That's why I changed so much. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You say, well, they were shacking up before they got saved, and they're still shacking up. They need to find out if they're saved. Now, they may be in Africa somewhere and not know what it is, that it's wrong. They may be that far back. But boy, you better tell them real quickly. We better tell them at the door, too. We go, all this door knocking we're doing, you don't do them any favor. Jesus said, go call your husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. That's right, you've had 5 husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sense, thou truly. You said the truth. Oh, you must be a prophet. She tried to get off the subject, and he brought her right back to the subject. They that worship God must worship in the Spirit and truth. She said, you say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank the river himself and his children and his cattle? She didn't know she was talking to the God man. But oh, before he got through with her, she knew who she was talking to. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the Anointed One, the Promised One? Oh, praise God. I'll tell you what. She left her water pot, and I believe she left her sin, and she embraced the Savior. And I believe she was different forever. Amen? You say, what did she do with her marital situation? I don't know, but I reckon she did right. I know when Jesus comes in, He'll set you straight. Well, can she be the pastor's wife of the First Baptist Church of Samaria? No! But can she be a soul winner? Yes, yes, yes! Because she was! God used her to pretty well win the whole town to Christ through her testimony, and then they came out and heard for themselves. And I don't understand all that, but it says she went back into the city and said, to the men. The men, it says. Boy, she went back with great boldness. Who knows, but she maybe went to the very men that she was married to. Who knows? She said, I've met the Christ. He saved me, cleaned me up, and as dirty as I was, I tell you, I have my sermon, and her name in my book is Dirty Girl. But Dirty Girl got religion. Hallelujah. Dirty Girl got saved. He'll clean up the dirtiest of the dirty. And as I've said before, I'll say now, you're from California. I've never met one person that's been married 5 times legally and divorced 5 times, living with a 6th one out of wedlock. I've not met one yet, but I haven't been in California but 1 time, briefly. No offense. New York's awful bad too. Amen? Amen? Come on, I'm from New York. I'll say everything bad I want about that place. Amen? I'm telling you, this girl was Dirty Girl, but Jesus loved her and saved her and changed her. I guess she was the worst case in town, don't you think? Amen? I mean, who would bother marrying 5 different men and then divorcing 5 different men and living with a 6th one out of wedlock? That's a lot of messed up mess. Amen? Who knows? She might have had children by every one of them. We don't know. Amen? But Dirty Girl got saved. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the whole town was never the same because of it. Amen? Revival comes when, you know, they used to say years ago, just find the worst drunk in town in some little town and get him saved and you'll get the whole town's attention. That's been done before. And these men got saved. 360 uses. Producing for 100 years. Evergreen plumes like a diadem of a great gigantic ostrich feathers sticking out 20 feet in length. And and through the wind it's like a whispering musical notes through the breeze as the breeze went by. Much different than the other night in the motel down in Austin. Oh man, did it hail down there. Got some hail damage on my car. I told my wife, I said, get in the bathroom. She was going to go out and look out the window. She's a country girl from Mill Creek, North Carolina. Amen. I said, no girl, that might get... And we heard later some of those windows did get smashed out. Amen. I heard the biggest hail I've ever heard in my life banging on our window and the side of the thing. I mean, it was big. Fireball came down and poof! I said, what is this all about? That wasn't right there. I went out to the other. Whoa, man, it was a storm. Just yesterday. No, on Friday night. By the way, they make ropes and rigging out of the greenery and the bark and other things, whatever. Timber can be used out of this. Brushes and mats and bags and couches and baskets, supplies almost all the wants and needs of the Arabs and the Egyptians I told you earlier. I thought this was interesting. Jericho was called the City of Palms. I believe that's where Zacchaeus got saved. Then Bethany, there's my daughter's name, means house of dates. Respect. This tree, it seems like it be so upright, it demands respect. It's near to heaven. And far from, its fruit is near to heaven and far from the earth. As we said, the eagle. And it stays tall, even with a lot of weight of the fruit and everything up there. It stays tall. Says our robes and will be robed in white and have the palm trees. It's a token of victory and peace. The palm tree. The palm branch is a token of peace. It was the token of victory as Jesus came in to the city of Jerusalem on a beast that had never been ridden. Tell me how that was done. Well, the gentle creator who created the beast can sure make it go like he wants to. Hello? Never a man sat on that beast. And then he was put into a grave that never a man had been either. A borrowed grave. But he didn't need it long. Just 3 days and three nights. I was going to bring that up this morning, didn't. But it says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. How in the world you can get 3 days and three nights from Friday is beyond me. But you can sure get it from Wednesday. And why in the world do we have a Wednesday service anyhow? Why do you have a middle of the week service? It's the middle of the week too. You have Sunday is the first day, Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday is right in the middle of the week. And Christ died in the middle of the week too. Hallelujah. Amen. Tells us that over and over again. Scripture. I believe He died on Hallelujah Wednesday instead of Good Friday. You can sure get 3 days and three nights. And He arose at third. By the way, what about the example beforehand? Was Lazarus. By now he stinketh. He was 4 days in the... This was the picture of what was going to happen soon after that. And Jesus was coming out of that grave. Never to die again, where Lazarus came out and had to die again. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. Earlier, Enoch never died. He was caught up and took up. Elijah was caught up in a chariot, a whirlwind of fire. And the other time, you remember that great woman, we'll call her Faith. And what happened? Her son came back, was brought back to life, but he had to die again. Lazarus, what? Was brought back to life again, but he had to die again. But my Jesus came out of there never to die again. He's the first fruits. He's the first one that did that. And we're going to be raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And wouldn't it be good to bring forth fruit in old age? I think of Jay McCullough. Did you know Jay McCullough? I don't think our brother Walton did. But what a brother he was. He had a grandfather. And his grandfather passed away a couple of years ago. And he said, my grandfather, I didn't like to go to Walmart with my grandfather. Everybody, every house he went to, he'd stop and tell them about Jesus. Every house. He didn't miss anybody. And then he'd get into Walmart and he'd talk to everybody about Christ in the whole place. He said, when I went, I knew I was never getting home again when I went with Grandpa. What a heritage. I heard about another man, and when he was buried, and they took those little, he had given out so many of those little red or white Bibles, my little Bible, that in the casket they slipped it into his hand. Nobody went by without getting one of those little red Bibles. Glory be to God. When I die, I want you to put a God simple plan in my hand. Maybe someone will dig my grave up one day and read it. They won't find anything in there, that's for sure. I don't want you putting anything in it. Don't you put any wedding rings. Don't put anything of value. Give it away to the poor. Or my wife can keep it or whatever. She's still around. Amen? Don't you... They don't want it. But who knows? Somebody stupid grave robber might come and dig it up and maybe they'll find my gospel tract. Read it and get saved on my grave. Amen? Praise be to God. I'll tell you, I've given so many thousands of those things out. I tell you, I've given a lot of them out in Mexico, too. I'm going to have some in heaven already from Mexico, I believe. I've given so many thousands of them out. These and other tracts. Amen? This is the seed, friends. The seed of God is the Word of God. The sower is the Son of Man, Jesus. And He sows His seed through us. When we get old, are we going to be able to say, as I thank the Lord I was able to say, to a fellow just the other day, where was I? Someplace. I can't remember where I was. And I said, let me show you from the Bible how to be saved. I said, I got my New Testament right here. And I said, I want to show you these 30 verses over here in John. And I said to him, I said, I've been able to show thousands of people how to be saved like this. It'd be nice if I could honestly say, boy, I've showed over 10,000 how to be saved like that. Amen? Huh? 500,000, half a million, that'd be all right too. Amen? You don't know. I might do it through other means, through the tracks and everything else. You know? When my dad died, I wrote a little thing down. I said, my dad, was saved and went to heaven, but as far as I know, my dad never showed one person or led one person to Christ. And I said, by the time I die, I'd like to be able to win 1 million people to Christ. It can be done today with all the media. The internet now, the web page, we're getting a web page. And then all the track distribution and so forth. Who knows? Amen. I might get my million. Wouldn't that be nice to lay those at the feet of Jesus? If you're gonna get a lot of people saved, you're gonna have to do a lot of work trying to get them saved. Amen. And a lot of prayer. Even if we get 50 or 100 or 1,000 or a few hundred saved or many thousand saved, you're gonna have to work at it. It's work, but it's a good work. It's a happy work. Glory. I think about that girl over here at the Killeen Mall. I'll try to close with this. And these three girls, and Brother John Metcalf was old. He was giving out tracts all the way through the mall, and Michael Clare and I were there, and he was giving out tracts. And these teenagers sat on this around this table. They'd already been, Brother John had tried to approach him or was going to him, and they were all fighting with each other all the way through the mall, weren't they? Fighting. Boy, they came into the eating area at the mall fighting with each other. The boy says, no, there is no hell. And the girl said, yes, there is a hell. They were on the table next to me, and I said, oh, this is good. I never heard of one like this before. I mean, they were going at it. And the one girl, one of the three girls that were there, or third one, I think, and she got up and walked away. She couldn't take any more of all this fighting. I don't know, they must have got a track from one of your stuff. I don't know. And boy, they were going at it. And finally I said, well, I think it's about time to break in. I said, young man, you are wrong and these girls are right. There is a hell, and if you don't get saved, you're going to go there. Boy, he got upset with me and walked away, and I was so glad he left. And I started talking to those girls. I said, you girls really are right about that. But Jesus loves you and died for you. Went through the plan of salvation to some degree with them. And then I said, why don't you three girls come over here? The other girl came back who couldn't stand the fighting. She'd come back. And so I had them all there, about three or four of them. I don't know how many there were. And they were all there at the table. The one girl, you know, she just swung her foot over like a man, you know. She's talking to me. 14 years old. All three of these girls were 14 years old. And they'd gone to church some and this and that. And I said to the one girl, I said, now you go to church, right? I can tell by the way you're talking. She said, yes. She said, but you're not saved, are you? And she said, no. No. And then I talked to the other one. I said, name me three sins you've done since you were born. I was big on that at that time. It's a good thing to do. She said, I disobeyed my mom and dad. And she said, I took the name of the Lord in vain. And I shouldn't have done that. Very serious. And the way she said it, I knew she'd heard some Bible because she said, I dishonored my mom and dad. She didn't say, I disobeyed them. She said, I dishonored them. So I knew she knew Bible a little bit, the girls. And so I said, you have broken three of the great commandments in the Bible. You are a great sinner. So I told the girl. And they were listening to me. And the other two girls, I didn't go and ask them what their sins were. And I said, why don't you all just bow your heads now and let's ask Jesus to be our Savior and Lord. And they did. The girl, when she got through, the one girl there, she's, oh, Jesus, I feel so good. She said, oh, I feel so different. I said, oh, that's good, isn't it? Woo! That's the way I felt when I got saved too. Amen? Oh, man. All the fighting was over. Amen? They never came to this church. But I'll see them in heaven if they got saved. Amen? Says the Ethiopian eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. Amen? Philip was caught away. I'll tell you, when God born somebody into His family, we ought to do all we can to nurture him. But I'll tell you, the Lord will not forsake any that He borns into His family. He will comb the kinks out of our head, friends. If we've got some kinks in our head, because He's done a work in our heart. He'll change us. If we have a bunch of quirky ideas like I did when I got saved. He had to be patient with me. But He was. He was always there for me. And I got mixed up. Started thinking the wrong way. Praise God, there was Pastor Eber. And he says, yes, Brother Harvey, we know you want to speak in tongues and we know you want to heal the sick and the dead and raise the dead right now, but this is what the Bible says. He was patient with me. Amen? Amen? I'm not saying that God can't do great and mighty things today, but boy, my head was all mixed up. Amen? About some of those things. I was all mixed up. And aren't you glad He's patient with all of us and He loves us all? He's gracious to all of us. You know, keep this in mind too, as a young Christian or an older Christian. If this brother says this is what the Bible says, and this brother says this is what the Bible says, and they differ with each other, they may both be wrong, but they cannot both be right. Did you get that? Or do I have to say it again? Did you get that? This one preacher says this, or a Christian says this, and the other one says something different from him about a certain Bible doctrine. They can definitely both be wrong, but they cannot both be right. It's our job to find out, what does the book say? What does it say? You know what one Bible teacher said, and I think he's really right about this. The Bible, in any given place, is only saying one thing, but the applications could be hundreds of thousands or millions of applications. But it's saying one thing. And it's our job to find out, what is it saying? Amen? And love your brother if you disagree with him. Pastor Eburn sure disagreed with me, didn't he? About a lot of things. But he was there for me. He was gracious. And my God worked through him and through many other Christians who were patient with me, and I thank God for it. Amen. He's a great Savior. Amen. Well, let's be like that tree, that palm tree. 200 pounds of dates and things to make all kinds of things. Vinegar, unbelievable. 360 uses. That's just like the peanut. Who's that fellow? George Washington Carver? Wasn't he the one? Discovered all those things from the peanut? Well, this palm tree, that was a necessary thing. And we are essential to the salvation and the morals of our country, we believers. May we stand tall. May we be beautiful for God. May we be strong. I didn't get into that. But you know, a tree, you can do almost anything to those trees. They say even in the deserts, the wind can blow those palm trees all over. But they're strong. They're rooted deep. They're strong. You take your automobile and try to have a fight with one of these oak trees out here. I don't care if you have a big truck. It'll may probably mess the truck and knock the truck all to pieces if it's rooted and big enough. Those trees are strong, and that's what we need to be for our Lord Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say? Be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. May God help us. Lord, help us to be true, faithful. In every way, thank Thee for Thy wonderful word. Thank Thee that we've been saved. Thank Thee, Lord, for the patience that Thou didst have with us. Oh God, may we have patience with others. Dear Lord, may we realize that we are so frail. All of us, our Father, the strongest of us have our weak moments. The very ones that have the greatest faith, and that'll last forever, faith, hope, and charity. These are the abiding things. And yet, Lord, even though these three things may prevail, yet, Lord, at times we're weak. What about Peter and the things he failed in? Our Father, and yet what a spokesman He was for Thy glory. Help us to realize when we think we stand, take heed lest we fall. Help us, Lord.